I'll just read the translation of Srila Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra in English, and then also try to read Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's Pranam Mantra. I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is very dear to Lord Krishna on this earth, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. Our respectful obeisances are unto you, O spiritual master, servant of Saraswati Goswami. You are kindly preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya Deva and delivering the western countries which are filled with impersonalism and voidism. This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's Pranam Mantra. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine Sri Varsha Banavi Devi Dhyatyaya Kripaptaye Krishna Sammanda Vijnana Taine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryojvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namaste Namaste Gauravani Sri Mutaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudapa Apasiddhanta Dvanta Harine. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, who is very dear to Lord Krishna on this earth, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Varsha Bhanavi Devi Daitya Dasa, another name of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who is favored by Srimati Radharani and who is the ocean of transcendental mercy and the deliverer of the signs of Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya's mercy, who delivered devotional service enriched with conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, coming exactly in the line of the revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. So, what I thought is I'll read from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, which is the detailed pastimes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It is compiled by His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami. So, few sections I'll touch upon are how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave importance for printing press. Then how he himself published various journals, periodicals, we'll touch on that. Then we will look at how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used technologies to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in a very revolutionary way, and how he exemplified the concept of Yukta Vairagya. Then finally we look at... Finally, we look at the aspect of his indications of how he will leave the world and his final pastimes. So one of the chapters in the book Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava is titled as The Great Drum. As we all know, it means the Brihat Mridanga. So the word Brihat means great, and drum is here referring to the printing press. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's definition of Kirtan include practical activities for broadcasting Lord Chaitanya's teachings, especially widespread dissemination of Harikatha and the production and distribution of transcendental literature. He considered that in of itself, lecturing was insufficient for establishing a successful preaching mission. Authoritative books were essential to systematically define and disseminate Bhakti Siddhanta and preserve doctrinal integrity. He thus vigorously promoted publication and distribution of Krishna conscious writings and dubbed the printing press the Brihat Mridanga, Great Drum. For while the sound of a mridanga in Kirtana reverberates only a short distance, the beat of the Brihat Mridanga resonates throughout the world. Srila Saraswati Thakura declared that to produce written books for the enlightenment of the general populace is a real service to the Lord, and hence preferred publishing even to opening temples, exemplified by his founding a press before establishing any matha. He deemed that temples are required, but mostly for the upliftment of common people and neophyte devotees, whereas the business of advanced and empowered devotees is to write, publish and widely distribute transcendental literature. Thus, his major engagement was preparing writings aimed at sober and thoughtful persons to impress upon them the depth and seriousness of the Gaudiya message. Once during a visit to the nearby finished matha at the Bagh Bazar, Srila Saraswati Thakur and his accompanying disciples expressed great delight at the prospect of preaching opportunities it would offer. Yet he clarified that book production was even more vital than building temples. Just as externally the Gaudiya Math has erected a great palace, multiple books must be written and published to establish the internal Hari Bhajana in this world. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati goes on to explain. A temple and kirtan hall for cultivation of transcendental kirtan fashioned in the form of Grantha Bhagavata, Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhakta Bhagavatas, pure devotees, are more important than a temple built with bricks and stones, because by creating the former kind of temple, Harikatha can be broadcast much further on this plane. Now we have founded a seat. Notwithstanding having spent one man's entire life's earnings to build a fort for propagating Bhagavad Katha, even so, only if herein we protect ourselves from the association of materialists and the tumultuous welter of Kali Yuga, will Hari Katha be preached from this place. Only by building ideal lives and a mansion of books can the message of Bhagavad Bhakti remain permanently in the sphere. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also predicted that his efforts alone would not be sufficient, and he said, the Gaudiya literature will be translated into all languages of the world by the agents of the divine mercy at the appointed time. And as we all know, our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, he took on this mission of printing Gaudiya literature in terms of translating Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out, he is one of the agents of the divine mercy, and at the appointed time Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said he will do everything. So from this section we can understand the importance Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave for publishing books and the printing press even above the building of temples. As pointed out, not having a temple built with just the bricks and stone, but Harikatha has to be propagated, and for that purpose elaborate temples can be built. And even prior to starting proper math, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established a printing press and started publishing. We look at how he started this publication and circulation and what all he went through. At that time, many seminal Gaudiya Vaishnava writings remained unpublished or had been issued only in small numbers. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had long wanted to make such works available, and he entrusted Bimal Prasad with this task. Subsequently, Sri Siddhanta Saraswati requested and received Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's blessings to print Vaishnava literature on an unprecedentedly large scale. But when he approached Srila Gaura Kishoradas Babaji for the same benediction, he was instead rebutted. "There's no one interested to properly understand such books. Better you stay in Mayapur and do bhajana." Seeing his disciple mortified and flummoxed, having been encouraged by one guru and discouraged by another, Babaji Maharaj conceded, "If you want to do so, use hired men. Don't waste your own time." This is how we see, at one side he is getting motivation from his father and blessings from him to publish Vaishnava literature in large scale. But then when he approached Gaura Kishoradas Babaji, he had a different reaction, but later gave blessings. He instructed that you can hire men and do this job, but you don't have to waste your own time. So after having got the blessings, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he established what is called the Gaudiya Printing Works that began in Kolkata, and major publications started to come out of it. One of the main one is the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam with Bengali translations and commentary, a project that took almost 12 years for him to complete. So his commentary had two parts. One is called Ananta Gopala Tatya, selected relevant verses from Srimad Bhagavatam itself and other scriptures with teachings of other acharyas. Then the second part is the Sindhu Vaibhava Vritti, his own original contribution, which was restricted to portions of Bhagavatam dealing with classical philosophical expositions. He didn't stop with that project. He had many other elaborate projects. Another elaborate project that he inaugurated and oversaw was the preparation of an extensive index for Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. A team of scholarly Gaudiya devotees and hired Gaudiya pundits labored for several months to finally produce this directory, featuring as its principal subjects the following: alphabetical list of all verses, names of persons and places including mountains, oceans, rivers, etc., technical terms for Darshana Shastra and Rasa Shastra, philosophical terms, food items, and even each noun, adjective and adverb included in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. A similarly thorough index of Chaitanya Bhagavat was also prepared.
Is this all in English or Bengali?
These were all translated and produced in English. When the commentaries, indexes and other ancillaries were complete, they were published with the original text in inclusive volumes as massive reference works, thus forming a lasting contribution to the Gaudiya Sampradaya. At the installation ceremony of one of the press, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur speaks. "The press building, the printing machine and the composing materials should not be considered mundane. Everything here, even the bricks and pillars, are aprakrita and non-different from Krishna." So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur not only created different big projects to bring out Vaishnava literature, he actually personally took interest in getting them out. So he taught all his disciples personally how to do book publishing and how to make quotations, and he would oversee all the operations within the press and offer relevant advice. He had a strong desire that an English translation of Srimad Bhagavatam be prepared with detailed annotations, and often lamented that he had not yet found anyone willing to totally devote himself. And we know Srila Prabhupada actually fulfilled this desire of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to create a detailed English translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now we look at the list of periodicals which are coming out from the press. First is the Sarjana Toshini. This was one of the periodicals which was started by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, but later was discontinued because he had to travel. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur revived this periodical. Second one is the Gaudiya, a Bengali weekly which was begun in the 19th of August 1922. Then there is Nadia Prakash, which is an English and Bengali semi-weekly. So here we can see how the periodicals are also going out at monthly and weekly intervals to different parts. At that time he was trying to cover Bengal, Assam and Orissa. Another periodical is the Harmonist, which was begun in 1927, an English monthly, but later got issued fortnightly. Bhagavata, a Hindi fortnightly, began in 1931. Kirtana, an Assamese monthly, began in 1932, and this was circulated within Assam. Paramarthi, an Oriya fortnightly, began in 1932 and published later on. So we pretty much have 7 periodicals coming out regularly, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted these periodicals to reach out to general public. And when some of his disciples said that the subscribers are not paying for them, should we still keep on issuing? He said, you're talking like commercials, so just keep issuing, and whether they pay or not doesn't matter. So he was more keen in getting the literature out. At the same time, when it came to giving big books, he never wanted them to be given for free. He set a specific price, and when people came to take his darshan, he would give it to them, and he would also employ different ways to distribute bigger books. He never wanted the bigger books to be given free. Regarding the way the language was written and how the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur were eager in receiving his words, Bhaktivikas Maharaj writes, "The Gaudiya worships in its own," this is the Gaudiya periodical, "so the Gaudiya worships in its own pregnant words at the shrine of the Bhaktisiddhanta Vani. Srila Saraswati Maharaja's words are the language of devotion herself. The inmates of the Gaudiya Math found it possible to commune with their divine master only through the ear. They are always eager to listen to the words of the master and his disciples. They found the Gaudiya to be the living word of the master. The inmates of the Gaudiya Math and its offshoots hung upon the utterance of their divine master. They find nothing more attractive and more inspiring than the slightest word of the Acharya. This is the reason why the Gaudiya is read with absorbing attention by every one of them. They always found in Gaudiya the answer to their spiritual questions. The Gaudiya is, as it were, the light to guide their steps on the path of unadulterated service. In the columns of the Gaudiya, they catch the sound of the well-known voice of their master." They like no other direction except that of the Gaudiya. They pursue the words of the Gaudiya, think on them and convey them to those who come to them for learning the tidings of the Gaudiya Math at the first hand. So here we see the eagerness with which the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was received by his disciples. Even though personally, it is said in a few other places, none of the disciples could stand in front of him and look at him or bear his vision, because his vision was so powerful that it is so protruding, not all of them could maintain an eye contact for a long time, and not many would have long discussions with them, with their guru. But here we see how the only communication they had with their spiritual master was through the ears. So they were lending their ears to him rather than going and standing in front of him and taking personal darshan. And they found his monthly periodical answering their questions. It is very similar to what Founder Acharya, when he used to write letters to his disciples, that used to be circulated throughout, and all of his disciples, like, even if one person gets a letter, I heard that they will open it up and then they will start reading as if it's for everyone, and they will take that as the instruction for all. So here we see a similar mood where the inmates of the Gaudiya Math were eagerly lending their ears to their spiritual master. So along with publishing the articles and journals and books, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also a transcendental proofreader. So Bhaktivikas Maharaj writes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati insisted that all published articles be free from spelling mistakes and would reprimand the disciples responsible if he noticed any. He similarly scrutinized statements and creeds to detect any and expose their minutest defects, the basis on each being the same antagonism towards acceptance of Krishna's supremacy. This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself saying, I don't read the book, I read the author. I first check whether the author is authentic. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur trained me in proofreading, so I always look for what is right or wrong. But I am not a proofreader of the press only. I am a proofreader of the world. I proofread men. I proofread religions. I dissect their faults and try to correct them. This is how we see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not only engaged at a high level of creating multiple publishing projects and translating books, but he was getting down to the level of teaching all the activities of a printing press to his disciples, publishing, getting it out, and in some cases he also personally went out to give out those periodicals in big festivals. And here we see he is also doing the proofreading, and how he claims himself, he just not only reads the material, but he also reads the person. After having looked at how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur exemplified in publishing and preaching through his Brihat Mridanga, we will now look at the ways in which he used the latest technology at that time that was available to him, and how he exemplified the aspect of Yukta Vairagya. An acharya who comes from the service of the Lord cannot be expected to conform to a stereotype, for he must find the ways and means by which Krishna consciousness may be spread. We hear this definition of Yukta Vairagya. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate, and not using the Hari Sambandhini Vastuna. So whatever is related to Krishna, if it is not used in Krishna service, so then that's not proper renunciation. So this was actually exemplified by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in a very, very unprecedented manner. And he showed how the topmost spiritual consciousness can be propagated by using the technologies. So when he took up sannyas, he actually started to look at different ways by which the message of Lord Chaitanya can be given to others. So it said, traditionally, renounced Vaishnavas avoided thickly populated places, preferring to remain in secluded holy spots, especially in Vrindavan and Navadvip, following the austere example of the six Goswamis who slept under a different tree every night. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's aim was to preach worldwide, for which Yukta Vairagya was the key. Thus, while uncompromising in principles, he was very versatile in practice. So he composed two Bengali verses to describe the Yukta Vairagya principles. The translation goes like this. All sense objects which are used without personal attachment and in relation to Krishna are non-different from Krishna. It is a mistake to reject anything suitable for serving Krishna, considering it an object of sense gratification. He reasoned, if everything is the Supreme Lord's energy, then why should anything be rejected? If God is good, then His energy is also good. Will not the Master of unlimited universe accord some of His estate for the use of His servants? His genuine servants are they who understand that temporal items should not be used for sense enjoyment, but can and should be used solely for His service. So in this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's idea was to take the message of Lord Chaitanya, and even at his time, he wanted the Western people to take notice or take into the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So in this effect, what he did was pretty revolutionary. His idea was to win the respect of the Westerners, and even within India, the Western culture was picking up. So he didn't want to be seen as a traditional sadhu who keeps to himself and never goes out and preaches. He wanted to be seen as a person who is ready to give these teachings to anybody who is willing to accept it. And for that matter, to facilitate preaching, he took up various means which were even considered unorthodox, and there was a lot of criticism. We'll see how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur responded to such criticism. So according to him, one doesn't have to take up voluntary poverty, which is widely esteemed, and give up modern sophistication. So we don't have to consider ourselves as illiterates or rejects in the society. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur donned elegant livery, rode in motor vehicles, lived in well-appointed apartments with ornate Western-style furniture, invited scholarly people to hear Harikatha in gorgeously built temples, met with kings, and invited governors and other high-ranking officials of the British Raj to preside over Gaudiya Math functions, all simply to gain confidence of materialistic persons, to get them to give a hearing to and acknowledge his message, which is, everything of this world is meaningless if conceived of without relationship to Krishna. These are the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself. Many make a drama of chanting 3 lakh names, yet merely a show of chanting without disturbing others will not benefit anyone except perhaps oneself. Therefore, we are preaching by approaching the people of the world dressed even somewhat better than they, showing knowledge even somewhat greater than theirs, being even somewhat more stylish than they, without which they would think us worthless and not listen to our Harikatha. I have to go to various places for propagating Harikatha, so I must present myself as a learned and decent gentleman. Otherwise, non-devotees will not give me their time. Bhakti is not a blind process. To whatever frontiers of intelligence ordinary men can lift themselves, devotees must go further. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's idea was that even though people get attracted to all the externals and they come to him for these reasons, his ultimate aim was to give them Krishna. If this is what is going to attract them, as he said, we have to dress probably better than them or give knowledge which is much more than what they actually know. For all these reasons, he used the various opulences. And as he is pointing out, his mood was to give the intelligence of Krishna consciousness and the message of Lord Chaitanya to as far and wide he can. And to that extent, in some occasions where he invited Britishers and asked them to stay in various places, he even ordered meat to be served to them. And for some of the Germans who came, some of them were even offered cigarettes. So this were considered very unorthodox. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mood was that to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya, he was willing to go to any extent. And later on he clarified that. Although seeking respect was wholly against the principles of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Saraswati Thakur clarified that a devotee could accept honor not for personal aggrandizement but for offering to Krishna and for creating reverence to him in individuals, otherwise fully disinclined towards him. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur declared, "We can live among millions of rupees and bedecked in costly vestures if our intention is to serve Bhagavan. There is no difficulty on the path of devotional service. Devotees reject the pleasures of worldly enjoyers as being like excretion and urine." So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur compared this Yukta Vairagya principle to that of a serpent. A serpent doesn't build its own house but uses the house of others. Similarly, the materialists have built so many technologies like radio, fan, printing press, cars. All of this can be used in Krishna's service. But while he was doing all these activities, there was a lot of criticism. Many of them saw only the externals, how the Gaudiya Mutt and the residents, they were using a lot of wealth. Then there were a lot of cars, there were even elephants, camels and a lot of opulence in the mud. They did not understand the internal mood of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and they were trying to criticize them. So this was one of the response of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to the criticism. Atheists want the devotees to live in the forest while they stay at home and enjoy life. Many people ask, why is Gaudiya Math temple so big? They think, rather we should have a bigger brothel. We can drive cars, the devotees have no need for cars for serving Krishna. To the common challenge, what kind of sadhus are you with all these nice raiments, conveyances, horses and elephants? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and his men would reply, the best things in the world should be employed in Krishna's service, no one else's, which means that they should be used exclusively by sadhus, for only sadhus use everything for Krishna. Although pragmatic, Srila Saraswati Thakur was never a slave of pragmatism. He was an exemplar of Yukta Vairagya, non-imitative, realistic renunciation of the world by persons with yet some work to do within it. Just to make sure that his disciples don't go overboard, he also cautioned them. He gave this advice as to his disciples as not to be overcome by the opulences that are there, that they are using, especially the wealth and the prosperity, but to be in a proper renounce mood and use them in Krishna's service. Another criticism that he had to face was venturing into big projects which are too time consuming and taking too much of money. And the critics even quoted the verses of Srila Rupa Goswami, which is making intense endeavors. So they criticized Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati by quoting Rupa Goswami, saying that he is making over endeavors for mundane things. So for this, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a fitting reply. It's a question of personal ability. One man might manage an empire and still find time for leisure, whereas another, despite laboring without respite, can barely maintain his family. So according to him, if a person is able to manage big projects and still do his bhakti, it is not considered as an over endeavor. And he himself exemplified in this act of taking up various projects, and at the same time he was still maintaining and exemplifying his personal sadhana, and he was very strict in himself, where he observed all the practices and of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti himself. We'll read another quote from him regarding Yukta Vairagya. Srila Saraswati Thakur upheld Yukta Vairagya as not merely an experiment for the materially progressive age, but the balanced middle path between maddened enjoyment of gross materialists and the extreme negativity of Mayavad. He stated, by causing awareness of Palku Vairagya and Yukta Vairagya to descend into this world, Sri Gaurasundara completely nullified the impulsiveness of various unthinking individuals, Mayavada, propensity for material enjoyment, and so on. Another word of caution that he gave was that one shouldn't use the examples like Janak Maharaj and Ramananda Roy, and using the worldly opulence in their name, but internally maintaining a mood of a Ravana. One shouldn't externally pose himself to be using Yukta Vairagya, but internally having a demoniac mentality And if you, one does that, one will eventually be overcome by the opulences that he is using. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's approach was a middle ground between the extreme opulence which is enjoyed by the materialist and the extreme impoverishment which the Mayavadis proposed. He chose a middle path so that the message of Lord Chaitanya could be propagated to the entire world. Now, having looked at his activities in the press and how he used technologies to the great extent, we'll look at his final days. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was hinting of his departure way before he actually left. For several years prevenant to his passing away, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati often spoke of his inevitability by referring to the residual portion of my life or this last stage of my life, or by stating, I don't have much time left, or I do not know how much longer Krishna will keep me here. So this is in 1927 when he is starting to write. Just as Maharaj Parikshit listened to Bhagavatam in his last days, I too desire the association of devotees in my final days. Where there is no Harikatha, it doesn't matter how many friends and relatives are there or how comfortable the situation is. In my concluding sojourn, such places and association strike me as extremely unnecessary and undesirable. So, even in 1927, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is indicating this. So if you watch the timeline, so now around 1930, this is the second indication coming. At the annual festival of Ramananda Gaudiya Mutt in Kovur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told the devotees making the Mahaprasadam there, the sun is about to set. You won't get delicious Mahaprasad like this in future. Such a function will no longer be held. Again, in 1932, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was briefing the audience and how he was telling that in starting the Gaudiya Mutt, he had so many obstacles, and in contracting these obstacles, he lamented as to how he could not serve Sri Sri Radha Brajmohan. And now he started to quote Srila Advaita Acharya's instructions to Mahaprabhu to wind up his pastimes. So again in 1932, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was indicating. In 1935, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur regularly hinted at his imminent passing. While lecturing in Dhaka, he declared, our span of life is short. Our life will be crowned with success if the body wears out while constantly speaking Hari Katha. Here he is bringing out this point as to how one has to use their body. And the success of life is that if one's body wears out in speaking Krishna Katha, that's the topmost success of a person. Having said these words, he himself actually gave a 16-day of extraordinary series of lectures in Srimad Bhagavatam, analyzing it in various details. And from the point of view of theology, from tradition, from different concepts, and from various teachings. He also started to feel the disunity among his disciples, and he many times verbally expressed his dissatisfaction. Feeling increasingly disgusted with several of his disciples, Srila Saraswati Thakur would comment on their proclivity for eating and sleeping and their having no inspiration for broadcasting the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He lamented that despite having so many disciples, Most of them were Kanishta Adhikaris, fit for Archana but not for preaching. On seeing that the number of his neophyte disciples was swelling, he decided to depart. In the last few years of his manifest presence, he often quoted verses that stress the uselessness of temporal attachments. He often used to quote the verse, "O Madhava, as a consequence of the distress experienced in trying to enjoy material life, we are all forlorn." Having given several indications, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in 1935, he went on to do a parikrama. There he started to lament. And this is where he openly expressed his heart to Sri Abhaya Charanaravinda, who had come to visit him. This is when our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada went to meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there, at that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur openly expressed his concerns. This is from the Leelamrita. Deeply concerned, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said to Abhay, "Agun Jwalbe, there will be fire. One day there will be fire in the Calcutta Gaudiya Mutt, and that fire of party interest would spread and destroy." Abhay heard but did not know what to make of it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had fought so long and boldly to establish that anyone of any birth could be elevated to become a Brahmana, a Sannyasi or a Vaishnava. But if his followers become contaminated by a little wealth and the desire for prestige, thereby showing themselves to be still low class men despite their training and purification, then his mission would be disrupted. This is our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada's words. He was lamenting that these men are simply after the stones and bricks of the building. He condemned. He was very, very sorry. These are the words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. "When we were living in a rented house, if we could collect 200 or 300 rupees, we were living very nicely at Ulta Dhanga. We are happier then. But since we have been given this marble palace in Bagh Bazar, there is friction between our men. Who will occupy this room? Who will occupy that room? Who will be the proprietor of this room? Everyone is planning in different ways. It would be better to take the marble from the walls and secure money. If I could do this and print books, that would be better." Abhay felt his spiritual master speaking to him in urgency, as if asking him to help or warning him to avert a disaster. But what could he do? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta then said directly to Abhay, "Amar Icha Chila Kichu Bari Karana. I had a desire to print some books. If you ever get money, print books." Standing by Radha Kunda and beholding his spiritual master, Abhay felt the words deeply enter his own life. "If you ever get money, print books." On 4th November 1935, Saraswati Thakur revealed service to deities at Kunjabihari Mutt, Radha Kund, and 2 days later established a Pushpa Samadhi of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a nearby separate building. Speaking at the Yoga Pit on the 21st January 1936, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati lambasted the materially motivated pseudo devotees. He cited the case of a person using a human skull as a drinking vessel and sought to show himself more renounced than Srila Gauri Kishore Das Babaji. At that time, he warned, Give up duplicity. Abide by the ideal of great devotees. Anusarana. Do not imitate them. Anukarana. Do not pass your days in idleness. Study Gaudiya and Nadiya Prakash daily. May hypocrisy never enter. So this is closer to the point where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was getting more afflicted with diseases. In February 1936, back in Calcutta, a prominent doctor brought by Kuncha Bihari Prabhu advised Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to curtail his continual speaking, which prompted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to discourse to him vigorously for almost an hour on the theme. Life is meant for glorifying Hari, so if that is stopped, then what is the need there for carrying on? Observing his Gurudev's failing health, Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu asked him who would become the next Acharya. Srila Saraswati Thakura declined to give any name, saying that an Acharya is Swayam Prakasha, self-manifested and cannot be appointed. Even at that close to his leaving the world, he was still keen to send some of his disciples overseas and preach. This is on the October of 1936. On 24th of October 1936 at Calcutta port, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati saw off Srila Bhakti Saranga Goswami, who was setting sail for England with instructions to also try to go to America. That same evening, Saraswati Thakur himself left Calcutta by train and the next morning arrived in Puri. Despite sickness, he lectured regularly there over the next 1.5 months. Srila Saraswati Thakur liked to hear the singing of Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, the song by Narottam Das Thakur. And this, according to Saraswati Thakur, is the quintessence of the Gaudiya theology. Service to the intimate maid servants of Srimati Radharani. So Saraswati Thakur wanted his disciples to sing this particular song, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, when he would always be internally meditating. His instructions when he was getting sick, he said, "All of you take to sincere Hari Bhajana. There are not many more days." This premonitory hint, along with his physical weakness and disquiet and frequent reference to Govardhan Bhajana, convinced several devotees that he would soon leave the world. Srila Saraswati Thakur made his last journey from Puri to Calcutta on the 6th December, despite it being a particularly very sharp winter and hence inadvisable for a patient to travel northward. When the time came to depart the train station, his driver, Sri Pyari Mohan Brahmachari, tooted the car horn to signal that they should leave. Just then, Srila Saraswati Thakur noticed his disciple, Sri Jadumani Patnaik, standing there and stopped to inquire about his welfare. Jadumani Prabhu said to his own son, "Now take your last darshan of Srila Saraswati Thakur. I think he will not come here again." On the morning of 18th December 1936, in his room at Sri Gaudiya Math, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati spoke at length to Sundarananda Prabhu and a few Western devotees, his cheeks becoming red with excitement as he forcefully condemned false discipleships. It was his last talk before he manifested the leela of being bedridden, never to rise again. Shortly thereafter, Srila Saraswati Thakur became afflicted by fever. Kunja Bihari Prabhu called in some of the most reputed doctors in the city to treat his Guru Maharaj, who informed each of them of the temporality of the body and the need for performing Hari Seva. When the doctors wanted to give him injection, Srila Saraswati Thakur protested, "Why are you disturbing me in this way? Simply chant Harinama, that's all." Upon receiving the news of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's condition, disciples started streaming in from far and near. On 20th of December, he rose and startled the also bedridden Ananta Vasudev Prabhu, whom he had not seen for several days, by visiting him in his room. On 23rd of December 1936, 8 days before leaving this world, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati instructed in a weak, haltering voice the devotees assembled at his bedside. Those vital and immortal words were to become famous as his last address, expressing the essence of his perennial message, and would be featured in innumerable publications. Sundarananda Prabhu jotted them down. "I have upset many persons' minds. Many might have considered me their enemy, because I was obliged to speak the plain truth of service and devotion towards the absolute Godhead. I have given them all those troubles only so they might turn their face towards the personality of Godhead. All of you propagate the message of Rupa Raghunatha with supreme enthusiasm. Our ultimate desire is to become dust at the lotus feet of the Rupanugas. All should remain united in following the Ashraya Vigraha for the sake of serving the Advaya Jnana. Do not be disappointed. In this ephemeral sphere, you should live somehow or other only for Hari Bhajan. In spite of all dangers, criticisms and discomfort, do not give up Hari Bhajana. Don't be disappointed that most people in the world do not accept topics about Krishna. Don't forsake your own bhajana of Krishna Katha, Shravana, Kirtana, in which is your all in all. With humility like a straw and forbearance like a tree, you should always perform Hari Kirtan. Let our bodies, which are like those of aged oxen, be offered into Sankirtan Yajna of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. We do not aspire to be any kind of heroes of karma or dharma, but our constitutional position and all in all is to, in every birth, become dust at Sri Rupa Raghunath's lotus feet. With all your energy, devote yourself to fulfilling the desires of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There are many among you who are well qualified and able workers. We have no other wish whatsoever. Taking a blade of grass between my teeth, I fall down and pray again and again to become dust at Sri Rupa's lotus feet, birth after birth. Certainly there are multiple inconveniences while we are in this mortal domain, but there is no need either to be overwhelmed by or try to overcome them. Rather, even during the duration of our present life, we must be acquainted with what we shall gain after surpassing all those difficulties. In this world, we are compelled to make decisions regarding objects that evoke our attraction and revulsion. Attachment and detachment in this damned existence increase according to the degree we are separated from Krishna's lotus feet. These were the last instructions which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave. Now this is the scene in the mutt. As the phone calls bombarded the mutt and 2 telegrams per day arrived from London with anxious inquiries about his condition, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati himself remained anxious for the spiritual condition of his disciples. On 24th of December, noting the absence of sounds of evening kirtan and lecture, he asked why this has been discontinued and asked them to be continued regularly. On the morning of 31st December, Srila Saraswati Thakur requested Srimad B.R. Sridhar Maharaj to chant Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. But after Sridhar Maharaj started singing, Kunja Bihari Prabhu directed that he stop and the reputed Kirtaniya Prabhananda Prabhu take over. Srila Saraswati Thakur then stated that he was not concerned with melodious intonations. So Sridhar Maharaj continued. Srila Saraswati Thakura next asked Naveen Krishna Prabhu to chant Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song beginning with Tunu Daya Sagara Tarayite Parani. O Lord, I am extremely unfortunate. My attachment for the holy name has never come about. The heart of Bhaktivinoda is overwhelmed with sadness. Upon hearing these last lines, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati clapped his hand on his forehead as profuse tears of humility decorated his cheeks, warning of the lamentable plight of being unattracted to the holy name. Naveena Krishna Prabhu stopped singing. That morning, Srila Saraswati Thakur also gave many important instructions for continuing the movement, enjoining his disciples to form a governing body of 10 or 12 members and cooperatively conduct missionary activities under their guidance. He ordered that the construction of Natya Mandira be begun. He also asked one disciple, "Among yourself, who do you consider the most knowledgeable of Siddhanta?" The reply was, "Vasudeva Prabhu." Srila Saraswati Thakur affirmed this and stated that Ananta Vasudeva Prabhu should continue to preach. He requested that Sundarananda Vidya Vinoda Prabhu be directed to complete and publish Vaishnava Manjusha. Then he looked at Srimad Bharati Maharaj. He said, "You are a practical man, so look after this mission. Either in love or rupture, it is good to maintain the same purpose." Srila Narottam Das Thakur lived by the principle of Srila Rupa and Raghunatha. We too should live according to that principle. Then he delivered his final message. "All of you, present and absent, accept my blessings. Remember that our sole duty and dharma is to propagate service to the Lord and His devotees." It was the morning of the 1st January 1937 at about 5:20 a.m. Prabhananda Brahmachari's bedside vigil was completed. He was handing over the fan and oxygen funnel to Krishnananda Brahmachari when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati aroused and whispered, "Who is there?" "It's me, Prabhananda Prabhupada." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati uttered, "Oh, Prabhananda Prabhu." Prabhananda then asked, "How are you feeling, Prabhupada?" Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati murmured, Oh, Krishna, Krishna." Hardly had Prabhananda left the room when he was called back. This is from Srila Bhakti Sridhar Maharaj. He was with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. On the 1st of January, early in the morning, he was lying and slight hiccup thrice, and everything was calm. Then of course we arranged a special train from Calcutta to Krishnanagar. Thus, after 62 years and 10 months of manifesting unflinching devotion to Sri Sri Radha Krishna in this world, Sri Varshabhanavi Daitya Dasa rejoined them in their hover in the Nitya Leela of their eternal cycle of daily activities in Vraja. It was 5:30. All the clocks in the matha stopped simultaneously, their steady ticking soon replaced by wailing and crying from every corner. Some devotees were sobbing as if their hearts would break. Some were chanting feverishly with eyes flooded with tears. Some swooned. Some simply bowed their heads and chanted Harinam. And some were clapping their foreheads and repeatedly calling out, O Prabhupada, O Prabhupada. Although the sun had risen, to the disciples present there, everything seemed black. At Krishnanagara, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was taken on the roof of a bus to the Ghat. This is after he passed away. From there, the disciples crossed the Saraswati River and then again carried them on the shoulders to the mud to place him in the Samadhi. This is Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj describing. Then the digging of the grave was begun and we were engaged in that ourselves. Early in the morning he was placed there. I still remember his dignified figure. He sat in a very dignified position. His complexion was fair. He was seated for 24 hours in an asana, the dignified position of an acharya. He was tall and fair and thin. His body was very soft. Then the salt was given around, but when the salt and earth came up to his neck, I came out. I could not stand to cover his head. I came out and then I returned to cover him. A tulsi plant was put there and we all circumambulated with some song and some reading of Bhagavatam. I requested we chant the poetic conclusion of his Chaitanya Charitamrita commentary. A commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself had written. And in the conclusion, he composed a poem, a very sweet in temperament filled with lamentation. I asked that this poem be read and it was. Then the story of the passing of Haridas Thakur from Chaitanya Charitamrita was also read. Then we circumambulated his samadhi and the tulsi plant seated there. And one gentleman requested me to chant the same Sri Rupa Manjari Pada that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted, and he asked me to chant 2 days earlier. He requested and I sang. I sang that song and then everything finished. Thursday before sunrise, 1 or 2 hours before sunrise, he disappeared. Friday, we took him to that mud and everyone fasted without drinking even a drop of water until Saturday at about 9 or 10 o'clock when we took something. At that time, so many disciples from outside flocked together, all pale and weeping. The entire small area was filled with crying and weeping. In this way, 1936 went away and 1937 began. This is the preparation stage where before he was put in Samadhi. Early the next morning, Srila Saraswati Thakur's transcendental body was bathed with Ganga water. After this, Srimad Bhakti Pradipa Tirth Maharaj applied with sandalwood paste the Samadhi mantra on his Gurudev's body, which was then dressed in new cloths and brought to the site of the Samadhi, and amid prostrations, prayer, glorification and offering of flowers, was placed on a marble throne covered with fine cloth. Kirtan continued to resound while the sandalwood paste, scented oils, flowers and garlands were offered at his lotus feet. After another arati and to the accompaniment of his favorite songs such as Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Swananda Sukunda Kunja Manohara, Yashomati Nandana, Srila Saraswati Thakur's divine form was interred in Samadhi. So it's two different recollections. News of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's departure was broadcast on All India Radio. and an official day of mourning was observed in Bengal. In Calcutta and other places, many eminent people gathered to eulogize Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati at memorial functions. So thus we see the final pastimes. I'll just conclude by reading the lines of Bhaktivinoda Thakur about how we see devotees when they pass away. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki
jai.
Srivangare Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.